All right, so we are recording. Thanks everyone for joining us today. This is the NYSO Open Teleconference for March 2021, and we are talking today about the standard-specific ontology standard. It is a little bit of a mouthful, so we made an acronym, as we like to do, and its acronym is SOS, so it's even better than its name. And with me today, I have the co-chairs of the working group for this project, Robert Wheeler and Cord Wischhofer. And we will get started with our conversation. I just want to explain the format. So it's pretty informal. We really want to make it as informal and as friendly as possible, and that you have an opportunity to ask questions or interact with the information in whichever way. And we realize it's just a phone call, so it's pretty low key. I am recording the call, and we will put it on our website after the session ends. So if you have colleagues or other people that you wanted to refer to it, you can do that later. We're going to have a little chat with Robert and Cord, and then open up the floor to any questions or comments. But if you have comments or questions during the session, please feel free to ask when they come to you. It's not meant to be delaying your questions at all. Of course, we do, background noise in the Zoom world is to be expected. And if you don't have a mute button on your phone, then press *6. That will mute your line. And if you want to unmute, press *6 again. And that will unmute you so you can talk. That should get us on our way. And I think that's it. So we're going to record. I will also turn off the recording at the end of the call. So if you have questions that you did not want to have recorded, there will be an opportunity for you to provide those. And then I will also see if anyone has any questions about NYSO in general. I think that's it. So we can get going. And Robert and Cord, welcome. And can you introduce yourselves or say what you do and how you got into this line of work right now?
Okay, how I got in this
Robert, line. I think you're first.
How I got into this line of work. Let me go back that far. I am the Director of Publishing Technologies at ASME, the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. I also run their Codes and Standards Publishing Department. I'll stop there. Cord?
Yeah. My name is Cord Wischhofer. I'm from Berlin, Germany. So please excuse my rather modest command of English. I work for a subsidiary of the German Institute for Standardization. Some of you may have heard of DIN, the German Institute for Standardization. I work for the content and metadata subsidiary of that standards organization. And I mainly deal with questions of structured standards information and other bits and granular pieces of standards which we can use to integrate them in software or to provide them to users of standards who integrate information into their own software systems, for example. So more from the techie side of things. Robert.
Great. The standard specific ontology standard, the work has been underway for about 6 months now, I think maybe a little bit longer. It was sort of in the works for a little while before that. Can you talk about why we need a standard specific ontology standard? How did this come to be an idea that you wanted to pursue? Yes.
So if I may start, how did this come about? Well, in the past few years, have seen, I think, quite a change in the standards world, in that our users, the people who buy our standards and who use the information from standards for their own business purposes, are slowly beginning to demand from us that we provide them with something better than just PDF standards. Well, we know that many of our customers are, deconstructing our standards, pulling stuff from our standards and putting that into their own systems. And that is, of course, not so easily done if you work on PDF or have been working on paper in the past. So the use of standards information and the information content of standard changes is slowly changing. Our standards world, thank God, is quite slow moving usually. So we're not that fast as some of the other branches of the economy. But for me, from Germany, we have a very strong industry branch in the economy, and the industry is demanding different sorts of information from us now. Maybe, Robert, you can add something from the...
Can you give an example of how information from a standard might be put someplace else?
Yes.
Knowing that there's all kinds of standards and all kinds of things. But
That's absolutely right, yeah. For example, standards contain loads of requirements for products or for processes. Nowadays, many organizations, when they want to produce in accordance with standards, they pick the information from standards, for example, the requirements info, and put it into their requirements management system, so they can later prove to their customers or to authorities that product they generate has been built in accordance with the standards requirements. And nowadays, very often that's an engineer typing or copying the information from a PDF into another system. And we hear growing demands from our customers who say, well, would it be possible that you supply us with this kind of information, or that in your standards it's nicely tagged and we can extract that? So that's one of the reasons why we did the NISO STS standard, which is the first step in that direction, so to speak, the XML structure for standards.
So as background, Robert, you're the co-chair also of the STS standard. Can you say a sentence or an elevator pitch about STS and its relationship to SOS?
Cord just did a really good description. We actually started talking about a standards ontology about a day and a half after we released version 1.0 of NISO STS at an event in Geneva. And then we went to the Frankfurt Book Fair. And Din gave a presentation about some of the things they were doing and mentioned, wouldn't it be great if we had a standards ontology? And as soon as the presentation was over, we were walking toward a bus, and I asked Cord what he thought about trying to do a NISO standard. And it was really building on the momentum of NISO STS. So NISO STS is a standard for this, well, it's an XML tagging suite for standards. We had, I think, over 30 people and 20 organizations involved in NISO STS. So we're really thinking we could build on that collaborative effort that was already occurring in the standard space.
That's great. So you were discussing this over getting to a bus, and there was no beer involved then?
Not yet.
that's a pity.
That came later.
I guess we're all virtual. It's a little harder to achieve, but great. So can you say a little bit about the ontology piece of it, because I think that's a little unique and special and seems really quite functional. And can you say what you thought you would need in an ontology? And then what's also the difference between a taxonomy and an ontology? Whichever one of you wants to take that on or punt it to the other person.
Should I keep going, Cord, and then you can correct me?
You start, and I try to complement what you say. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I was trying to actually describe an ontology to one of my children the other morning.
That's a good exercise. Yes.
And thinking she had a concept of taxonomy because of biology, the simplest way I could describe it was, you know, for a taxonomy, everything has to roll up into that top term. Whereas an ontology, actually, you describe relationships. It's a more dimensioned representation of a particular domain. So that was the simplest thing. I'm not sure she followed me.
Yeah, but I think that's a good description, because from my understanding and how we defined it in the SSOS working group, a taxonomy is a, really a controlled vocabulary which is hierarchically structured. So as Robert says, it all goes, you can roll it up into one term at the top and one concept mm-hmm. at the top, whereas an ontology really is more a controlled vocabulary with classes defined and properties, which adds relationships between terms and concepts, and it forms a web, more speak, a knowledge graph, I would say, and that's necessary if you want to use standards content as we plan in the future, in the mm-hmm. maybe far future, where you have somebody asking questions on the content and doing it in natural language, and you need ontologies to, in order to be able to answer such questions, because the content of the standard is so to speak given in a knowledge graph or in a web form, so such uses are doable then.
Interesting. So in terms of the working group itself or the project that this group is undertaking, it's not creating an ontology for all of standards. You did scope it. Can you talk about how you sort of scoped your project or figured out where would you start? How would you start this? And I guess it's Robert's turn.
Okay. So we had that conversation the end of 2017, and then we loosely recruited a number of standards people and people who might be in this space, and had a substantial number of meetings and conversations and email dialogues talking about this idea. And to me, the two big questions are, should we do this? And do we think we can do this? And mm-hmm. we had a couple examples. We actually submitted a work item proposal and then pulled it back almost immediately to narrow the scope at the last minute, following some pretty intelligent comments that someone brought up. By minimizing the focus, we're only working initially on the life cycle states of standards. And okay. Since the kickoff, I don't think it's been quite 6 months, but we're doing really well. I think, call it a proof of concept, maybe, Cord. We just got like a first draft of something from Access Innovations early this morning.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it at that.
Well, then, what the group is doing is discussing a standards life cycle. So we're kind of a little meta now, because you're drafting a standard and then it will be published. But can you very briefly describe at a high level a standards life cycle for people who might not be involved in standards?
With pleasure. We can do that. No worries. We've been discussing it for half a year, but we realized that with about 20 organizations participating in this group, or 15, we realized that each of the standards organizations, they have their own standards life cycle. So we all have slightly different views on how we produce standards, what the different steps or states are, where the development process goes through. And that took quite a while to come to a common understanding and finding the right terms for these. So we defined, and now I come to the result of the standardization work already, one result. We defined top-level states for a standards life cycle. So from the inception of the standard, the first thought about the standard, until its end of life, so to speak. And we defined three top-level states. One is called in development. I think you can all understand what is meant by that. That's the phase before the standard is published, so to speak. Then we have a phase which is called active, when the standard is valid, or is the one which is the newest version of it, or the up-to-date version of it. And at some point in time, it's going to be superseded by a successor standard. And then it becomes, as we call it, inactive. That's a life cycle state which comes after the active phase. So that's at a very, very high level, the three top level states which we defined. And you're quite right that this doesn't make up an ontology, really. But we have, of course, second below those top level states, we have second level states, which are different, or which may be different in many organizations, which, of course, run from the first idea for the standard and the new work item proposal, so to speak, in the ISO world, then a draft committee draft, then a published draft standard, then a publishing phase, or some other phases which come before the standard is given to the public, and so on and so on. We try to find the right terms and the right understanding. For example, what is a withdrawn standard? Is withdrawal something very formal, or is it just an act of making a standard no more active? All those discussions are quite quite detailed, and we really realize that our general grasp or our general understanding of the process, how standards move through their life cycle, is quite different from each organization or from the organization which you represent, and that's a lot of work to come to an understanding on that. But that's very interesting, really. Because it gives deep insights into the standardization world.
And I think also how different the reasons for different organizations to take the decisions they do based on their own customers, users, and how they expect their resources to be created. So
yeah, that's right. And the interrelation of standards with regulations published by authorities is another question, which is also very, very important, but that's more on the usage of standards. But yes, again, that's another thing that complicates matters. But it's a very interesting work.
Yeah. I know that another piece of the current effort is that working group members are creating use cases for analysis and verification of the work. Can you generalize about what kind of problems are illustrated by these use cases?
I'll leave this to Robert. Okay with you, Robert? Can you?
He went on mute. He might have had to step away.
Okay, he's on mute. Yeah, then let me try to explain. There's many different use cases. For example, one organization said that they wanted to structure their process, their internal processes, better. One of the members in the working group, and that they
I lost.
Oh, here you are, Robert. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you
hear me? To be dropping the sound.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I didn't hear the question.
I was asking about the use cases, and I know, like, the working group members are contributing use cases kind of as a, you know, ongoing basis, and I was curious about what, you know, how the use cases would be used, or what were the use cases, what were some examples of the use cases, you know, the kinds of problems that would be evaluated, I guess.
I just started by saying, Robert, that one of the organizations participating in our work said that they wanted to use the ontology to structure their own work in a more logical way or in a different way. Others said that if they can attach their standards development process to the ontology, that would help them in the automatic extraction of information, for example, when they knew which life cycle a standard is in, it would help them in such kinds of work. And Robert, do you have more of the use cases?
One is actually data exchange. The standards ecosystem is, unique, but there are a number of standards organizations or distributors that aggregate a lot of SDO or standards content, and that includes some of the national standards body also distributes those standards. We are, as we found out when we were trying to define the lifecycle states and this two-tiered approach we came up with, we all have different names, but we all have different things we're interested in, and also some of us are much less rigidly organized than some of our counterparts. For a number of the US standards organizations, we don't get to the level of detail like a ISO or IEC may define their states or stages. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the things came out that we were actually had dramatically different understandings of the same life cycle term, like withdrawal.
Yeah.
It just meant something very different to the US standards organizations versus some of the other people on the committee. So as Cord mentioned, the internal processes would be helpful there. One interesting comment about it could streamline development of standards across the larger standards organization. I thought that was an interesting use case. Oh, and ease national adoption, which is perhaps more important for Cord and some of his colleagues.
That's right, because in Europe, we have many different languages, different from you in the US, where you work mostly in English, and maybe some standards are also published in Spanish, I think. We have standards organizations in most of the countries, and they all have their own national languages. So translation and adoption of standards and the relationship of, let's say, a German standard adopted, a German standard that was adopted by from a European standards organization, and which, in fact, had been developed by ISO, is a three level approach, and it's very very useful for us to have a life cycle ontology which could cover some of the aspects of this added piece of complexity. Yes.
Good. So you meant Robert, you mentioned you name dropped Access Innovations a little earlier. What is Access Innovations doing for, who is Access Innovations? What are they doing for this group, and how are they building the ontology?
Who are they? They have been, I feel unqualified to describe who they are, but they've been in, I think, the indexing space and then thesauri and ontology taxonomies for decades.
I think they're preeminent.
Yes. So we kind of looked at what we did with NISO STS, which worked really good. We worked with Mulberry Technologies, and they acted as secretary for STS, but they also generated the documentation and kept the DTDs and schemas and managed all that. It's impossible to think how we would have gotten through all that work. Oh, and they also do it for JATs and BITs. So getting through STS, we couldn't imagine how we would have ever been able to get this done without them. So having that experience, we thought Access Innovations could act as the secretary for SSOS. And they have been, they also bring expertise to the table. It's not just acting as secretary, and they're the ones who are generating the OWL, that the proof of concept that we got this morning. So yeah, they are just helping.
They're great.
Us
they're great. They do a great job. That's
yeah.
Well,
yeah, and, really.
They help us with their experience in ontologies and taxonomies and so on to structure our work, and they help us go about it in a good way. Up until now, much of the work has been terminology work, defining terms and definitions and creating a common understanding of what we are doing. That's usually the first steps in a standards project anyway. And I think we went through this very well, but now we are really constructing the ontology with the terminology we have defined. And that is very interesting. And the part of Access Innovations is there to help us with their immense experience.
Yes, and maybe we should mention that there are a few organizations that are helping fund the work of Access Innovations. So that would be ISO, IEEE, DIN, ASTM, and ASME. So we certainly appreciate that, and we're going to appreciate it much more in the coming weeks and months.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it really does make a difference. Anything else you want to, or it might be future directions. One last question before we open it up to the floor. Where might this go?
We did have some other examples in the original draft work item.
The things that got cut.
Well, they were a little vague, which is one of the reasons why. And it just, I think it was actually a really good decision to narrow the scope to life cycle states, because we figured if we can get through this in a reasonable amount of time, then we can, as a group, as the working group, talk about, are there other generic areas where that we could help describe that would help end users and the standards community? One of the other examples is a very high level, I think it's parts, processes, and materials is one way to look at standards and actually define either sections of them or the entire piece. And, you know, requirements would probably roll into one of those camps. So that would be a more deep, that would be a child of one of those categories.
Right. And if I may add, Robert, presently, we are developing an ontology which is more probably of use to the standards developing organizations. So those who develop the standards, is very, very, or it's more centered on our own processes. What is also something we will have to look at is the question of how industry or how other customers use our standards. So the usage of this in the company or in the institutions that use standardized content is something which also relates, of course, to the life cycle of standards, because the usage of standards, the time they are being seen as active standards, for example, is something which is important to our customers as well. And this aspect of the work is probably something we also need to take into account if we want to gain acceptance for that.
Yeah, that's a good point. We do have a couple standards users as part of the working group. So it may be, you know, we're looking for that voice, and it may be interesting to hear from the people who are pulling bits and pieces of standards into their systems and processes and find out from them, like, what are your challenges, or is there some other piece? And one other thing that did come out when we were having our early discussions was the idea of trying to create something like an umbrella. We don't want to recreate any other taxonomies or ontologies that are out there. So one of the initial thoughts was knowing that standards organizations or any organization may want to build on this on their own and kind of tie those two pieces together. So there may be other taxonomies or ontologies we want to pull in because we find it of value to all the standards organizations, but at the same time, we know organizations may want to build on this. So the idea was really this foundation that we want to create.
Great. Ben, I want to do all that we can, and all that NISO can to do to support that creation. I wonder if anyone in the audience has any questions for Cord or Robert, or things that you wonder, or things that you are anything to elaborate on. You are welcome to join us. Speak up. If you don't, that's okay too, but just want to give the opportunity. So this group is, you know, we said in their own standards lifecycle, a little less than 6 months in development. Do you have a timetable or when might we be able to release something publicly or outside the group? Not that I would hold you to that, but.
Well, I guess the normal time frame for the development of a standard in the NISO context is 18 months. 18. We started the work in early October 2020. So we should publish something by February or March 2022. At the moment, we're progressing, as you already said, Nettie and Robert, we are progressing quite nicely. Could be that we might be a little quicker. So the earliest, I would suppose, is something at the end of 2021.
End of this year, yeah.
Robert, what do you say? Is that realistic?
I would agree. Yes, and if we can release something sooner, we'll be happy to do it and get that public comment, that review. Mm-hmm. Hopefully within the next week or so, this proof of concept will be shared. Well, actually, probably this week with the working group, and they will reach out to their colleagues.
Yeah. No. So I think it has been a really good working group. Lots of input from the members and good discussions. And I think it does seem to be moving right along. So we will look forward to that. One more opportunity for anyone to ask any questions. And I'm also going to shut off the recording if there's anything you wanted to ask that you didn't want to have included on the recording. Do that now.